Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey there, Vault Dwellers! Follow us as we take a topic from the Fallout universe and discuss it in a group of diverse individuals. We are the Fallout Roundtable. Join us, the conversation has already started. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Fallout Roundtable. Our host today is actually going to be a sassy lady who spelled her name as Dawn. I'm sorry. Just ignore that down on the bottom there. Anyway, folks, today we're going to be doing an interview with Mr. Preston Harden. Yes, he is the editor, the creator, the mastermind behind the True Vault Escapades, which is a wonderful audio drama that is on Spotify or all of your major podcatchers. He has made his own radio station at one point, which I believe there was some litigation there, and he ended up putting it out on YouTube or whatever so that you can still enjoy the wonderful music of the Fallout universe. Mm-hmm. All right. So, and then on top of that, if you get a chance, you can catch us on our Twitter machine there at Fallout RTB it's just at Fallout RTB. I always do this. And then you can also send us an email if you'd like at FalloutRTB@gmail.com. All right. I'm going to turn it over to Miss Sassy Lady and we are rolling.
You're rolling. So yes, the acclaimed creator of True Vault Escapades, A-Bomb Radio, everything else. If you've ever heard of Walter and Bunny, Walter and Bunny are his creations.
My babies.
His babies, his children, his imaginings. So yeah, this is all from his mind. So going back, how long have you been doing this?
Oh goodness. Well, this show has probably become at this point the longest running Fallout audio drama, which is a kind of a weirdly unique title, but that's because I got it started like fresh out of high school at 2016. So it's been going on for some time now, and it's at this point we produce them monthly still, and it's certainly grown and had millions of twists and turns along the way. The first episode is completely separate from the current episode. But yeah, 2016, it's given it a lot of time. So yeah.
It's 8 years, my friend.
Yeah, almost a decade.
And I mean, you're so young for that kind of accomplishment too. I mean, you did this out of high school. I mean, most people are like, oh yeah. I'm like, you know. This is like my third, fourth.
Where do we get our next bag, dude?
Decade of life, and we're thinking about doing this kind of stuff. You know, that's pretty amazing that you started right out of high school doing something like that. That's pretty neat. But yeah. So, were you playing Fallout at the time, or what was what was your inspiration?
Well, a multitude of things. Fallout sent me down a rabbit hole, much like BioShock, LA Noire, and the Mafia series did. And of course, being a young millennial, hearing like the Ink Spots and Billie Holiday and everything, that I was like, what is this music and how old it is? Like, I know disco. I know you can go back to doo-wop in the 50s. Yes, it's so beautiful. And
disco.
So I just started going down this rabbit hole.
You're online with like 270s kids, so yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm very familiar. I can connect. I love me some Rolling Stones and such. Well, where does it begin? I was actually afraid of Fallout when I first saw it. I watched the trailers. I was still in my Crash Bandicoot era in the mid 2000s, and then whenever Fallout 3 was aired on TV, like the teaser trailer, I had nightmares. I was afraid of it, didn't like it, and I was partially intrigued by it. And then years later, I ended up buying the game. I was just like, let's bite the bullet. You love this game. S just you love this trailer. I mean, come on, you got to see what it is. And
It was a
so.
great trailer.
You sound like me the first time I watched Nightmare on Elm Street.
Right. Same effect. Yeah. And
Was like, ah!
it's funny
Hello.
because Fallout and BioShock, they had the same effect on me. They played the trailers. I think my dad was watching ESPN and they were getting like sponsored by these companies, and they played the teasers for both the first BioShock and the first or Fallout 3. And after these years went by, I got the game, fell in love with it, and of course was still scared of it. And fell down this rabbit hole of like this old music. And I was like, what is it about this old music I love? And it was just this whole world. And pertaining to the radio show, everything started with Herbert Darren Dashwood and
Oh my
Galaxy
gosh,
News
yes.
Radio. Yes.
Loved him.
And I don't know how many years all of those factors ruminated in my head, but in sometime after that, I became established on the Fallout Instagram community. And I was known as all underscore Fallout. I joined it in 2013. That's why I have the following I still do. I don't really post there anymore. But I started in 2013 while I was in high school. And I was just making all of these friends and connections. I got to meet Mr. Matty Plays through it, who was like this, especially at that time, like the pre Fallout 4 days. He was like
Yeah.
the guy to watch for Fallout 4 news. And that's also why he's one of our first guest stars on the show. But I started by all of this was started from Radio Wasteland. And I found this free service while I was in high school to stream music online, which was probably illegal at the time, but they made it work.
We
And
all have been there.
we all struggle. We all struggle.
Wasn't
And
just
so,
you.
yeah. And so, of course, Instagram was the only place I advertised through. That was the only place that I ever let people know about anything. And I started Radio Wasteland. It was only playing Fallout 3 and New Vegas's music at the time. That software didn't tell me that if you don't keep a certain amount of listeners up per month, they take your station down. So I was hit surprisingly with a takedown. I then revamped it as Old World Tunes. Old World Tunes lasted for quite a bit, and it was probably the most popular iteration of my radio stations. And at that point, I had started adding like a ton, like much more music than just what Fallout had to offer, just more of the same type of music, more from Billie Holiday and Benny Goodman and Glenn Miller and stuff. And I, along the way, started to
Become an expert.
become an
Yeah.
expert with music that's older than my grandmother's grandmother. And so I
Wow.
started, and so I really became educated in old music, and it got an app. I found an app software service. They link your stream through there, kind of like an RSS feed, and it played, and it got super popular over the time. It had hundreds of thousands of downloads. Didn't make a penny, but I still loved it. And
Yeah. Passion
it was it, it
project.
was a labor yeah it was a labor of love. It was a passion project. It wasn't until 2014 I wanted to make a radio show for it, and that's when I started to brainstorm. In I was in a health class in senior year high school, 2014. I remember I was listening to another big band web station. And the song, would how am I forgetting the song? Let Me Love You Tonight by Charlie Spivak's Orchestra 1944 came on, and I never heard of it, never heard of him. And I was like, this
Oh, you
sounds
haven't heard of
like,
Charlie Spivak yet? Oh my goodness.
right? Not, yeah, I'm sure even my grandma has never heard of him, but I heard it and I was like, this sounds like the intro to a radio show. I totally want to use this for a radio show intro. And I, that night, I just was parked on my desktop and I started writing it, just all of these plot outlines. And I'm like, I want a detective show so bad. And I want it to play on my app and my station and stuff. And that's when True Vault Escapades was conceived. And aww. I had a rough draft for it. It was going to take place in Vault 101. And it was going to take place about 100 years before Fallout 3 took place. But that would later change.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So, because that was Fallout 3 time. So, did you change all of that because then what, New Vegas came out or?
No, so Fallout 3 and New Vegas had since been out for a bit at this point. Okay. But
I remember release dates. I'm bad about that.
I believe Fallout 3 was 08 and New Vegas was 10 or 11. And yeah, this was 14. So, you know, New Vegas wasn't too old by then. But I was like, I want just maybe 5 episodes. It'll be 5 episodes, kind of like Herbert Daring Dashwood, where it's just like a few that'll play on the loop. And it was going to be about a vault girl and a wasteland detective, completely separate from each other. And the wasteland detective was going to somehow answer a distress call from this vault girl in Vault 101, get inside the vault somehow. I was going to originally put in a drill. It was going to be some kind of drill that cut through metal. And wow. He was going to help stop some kind of espionage with Bunny, who I originally was going to name Kitty. And she was supposed to be this lavish, just vault girl with a vault suit, but she wore like fur on top of her vault suit with a scarf and mink and all this stuff. And Walter was going to be just Humphrey Bogart, basically.
Obviously.
And just a kind of a dirtier wasteland.
But he still is, Humphrey isn't Bogart. He? I mean,
yeah,
that remained is. True, kind of. Yeah.
Yeah. And was just going to be this
the
whole
voice
thing.
Is something you just can't get over. So,
yeah.
Which has been captured for he's the only original cast member, right? He's the one that stays original from the beginning to the end.
Bunny's
had three different iterations, I believe, right?
Yeah, she's had three different iterations. I intend to stay with the current one because I don't like to change things too much. But there's just everything was so different in the beginning. And I think the reason I changed it was because I hit a roadblock in the story. I was like, this is kind of dumb. I'm going to change this around.
I remember when you made Bunny more of a damsel in distress, and that did not seem to go over as well with the listeners at the time. So you had to like redirect her back to being that tough can get it done girl, you know. And I remember and you can hear it in the series as you're going and it's progressing. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, you're like, why is Bunny acting like she's scared?
So she was supposed to be like 10 times softer than at that point in the series when I first was conceiving it, but yes, I had to remember at that point that, you know, Bunny is a tough, beautiful vault girl who's not afraid to pull the trigger and stuff. But I think I was listening a little too much and taking a little too much of the show's direct inspiration, which was part of my inspiration for what changed the timeline of the story from Vault 101 to what it turned out to be. And that show was Nick Carter, Master Detective, which was a big radio show back in the 40s and 50s. And I used it as inspiration when I hit a roadblock. And and it's just, I love that show so much. Nobody knows about it anymore. But yeah, you got Nick, you got Patsy. Patsy's the secretary. She's not a detective, but she does accompany Nick on like all of the mysteries. And it's just the most cookie cutter, like, pulpy kind of detective show ever, and it's so good. And that's what I used as my inspiration for what it turned out to be, which was Walter and Bunny are in the New Vegas era, and they start out in Texas together. And instead of Vault 101, it's my made-up vault, Vault 54. And Walter lives in Carbon, which is actually a place in Fallout Brotherhood of Steel that I used.
Okay.
And that's where it all starts. But yes, Bunny was originally introduced as a detective, not just a vault girl, but a detective vault girl. and teams up with Walter to solve the mystery of Vault 54, which it stayed espionage, kind of like Vault 101 was supposed to be. And since then, they have moved out to New Vegas, and a lot of stuff has transpired since then, and they are established. So, yeah.
A lot has moved. Yes, a lot has.
All right, folks, this is where I'm going to have to leave everyone. I must go. Okay. It was fun. Thank you, Preston. Pleasure as always.
Thanks for popping in.
I had you set to take a break in about 8 to 10 minutes, just so you know where I had you going. And I'll see you guys later. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, okay, so let's see. All right, so you write... My baby popped in. So you write all of your stories, and... Did you always envision having them acted by voices? And you don't act your own parts, do you?
No, there's been a few parts on the side that I have voiced. My most recent one was Diddy Roughback, the ghoul, the pimp ghoul. But it's usually silly things like that I'll insert myself in. But yes, I write each one besides a few that were done by my friend Josh Belmonte.
He's the one who does... Walter, right?
No, so Josh, he voices a lot of my characters, and he's one of the originals, just not from the first part of the series. And it turns out he was a writer too, and he wrote like my Silver Shroud episode. He wrote the most recent episode, A Special Meeting, and The Lonely Grave of Arch Stanton. So he knows the show very well, and he'll write a few episodes every once in a while, but for casting, back to Instagram, this is when things got really difficult, because I was trying to ride a wave here, because Fallout 4 had been teased and announced by the time I wrote the first 5 scripts. And Instagram, of course, being the only place I had, I started sending out a casting call. I was like, email me with this kind of, I put out a little document for people to follow. And people were so much younger than I had thought. They sounded like children trying to audition for Humphrey Bogart. And I was like, oh, no. And I put examples. I put, like, Nick Carter examples, like narration and these types of voices, kind of transatlantic accents. And I went through dozens and dozens and dozens of emails that I still have until Eric Huffman, the one who stayed the longest, he auditioned perfectly for Walter. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow, like everything was like completely missing the mark, but now Eric just hit it like dead on. And I was like,
he nailed it.
And he even sent his audition was via video too. So it was like really professional seeming. Oh, wow. And yeah. And, instantly I was like, yeah, you're here. You're on. Stay.
And so, oh,
yeah,
that was a good choice considering you've not had to recast that.
Right. I mean, his voice is so unique, and we chat like all the time. We never met like even like this. We never like spoken on the over the phone or anything. I hope one day we can do like a big cast to get together, but we always just text and chat each other. Yeah, it's always been a remote endeavor, like all of the casting and everything. It's been very quick and remote, but we all love the show. But with Bunny, of course, a lot of just squeakers, as we called them back then, just it was just not good. I was like, oh baby, this is not what I wanted. I'm sorry. And so,
well, she has to have a certain sound. I feel like she has to sound mature, but she has to sound, what is the word I'm looking for? She's gotta have that 40s vibe.
Like
she can't just sound like any old girl.
Yeah. That was like
you definitely don't want some girl like 20th century girl, or whatever. You don't. Well, I guess that is 20th century, but whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Like, nowadays, 2000s girl, whatever. You don't want that. It just doesn't work.
Yeah. And of course, this was all just a surprise because I thought that I had a decent chunk of diverse sounding people, I guess, from all the time that I've had to build my Instagram account and bring in all of these different people. But then Amy Harris comes through. And you know, it's crazy. I still don't know too much about her to this day. I think she lives in Canada. But I believe she was a college student at the time, and she just auditioned, and it was just so clear, and she wasn't trying too hard, and it was just her natural tone with just the circumstances in mind, and it sounded so good. And I was like, yes, we got it. We got Walter and Bunny. And I reached out to other places that I could find some of the supporting voices. And in fact, I come to think of it, our first five episodes already have our first guest star, which is the storyteller from Fallout lore, Shoddycast.
Yeah. I love him.
And I reached out to Shoddycast before I even thought about it. And I'm like, can I have his contact details and permission? Because I think I want to use him. And they're like, yeah. And I remember them making a Preston Garvey joke because they saw my name.
That's funny.
So yeah, I mean, he stayed on for quite a long time, starting out as Overseer McKenzie, and he carried on as Casket and Lieutenant Humphreys and a ton of side characters. I can't even remember. We just had a good solid start with the casting once everything was settled. But
yeah,
unfortunately, Fallout 4 had been out for about a year because it was 2016 and Fallout 4 came out in 15. So I was like, oh, darn, but oh well, let's do it. So yeah.
I love that it's set in Vegas, just because you get, that's when Vegas was coming on into its own, was during that era. So it makes more sense to have your 40s era podcast, storyline, radio show, whatever, be set in that area of Vegas, considering that was basically its heyday.
Yeah.
Was with, you know, the gangsters and everything. All the mobsters and everything back in that time.
Perfect for detectives, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I knew a guy who used to bartend in Vegas in the heyday, and he's like, I could tell you stories, but I'd have to kill you.
Right.
Like, wow, now I want to know, you know?
Oh, not me, like, I'm plugging my ears.
I mean, he would talk about all these mobsters that would come in and hang out at the bar, and, you know, and then the cops would come in and they would be like,
oh my,
you know, trying to get him to tell them things. And he was like, I'm not snitching. You know, I'm not a snitch. I'm just like, wow. You know,
wow, that is amazing.
Just like the life that this guy had. I was like, wow. But it just reminds me of all of that. What are you? I hope you can't hear it.
No, I can't.
So I remember when, you know, I discovered it, we were driving back and forth from somewhere and I started listening to it on, you know, in the car. And then I think another time we were in the car and my husband's like, so why can't we listen to that Walter and Bunny show? See, I gotta listen to that bunny now. What's going on with the bunny now? See, we gotta see what's up with the bunny. I was like, are you kidding me?
It's like, I am nerd this. That's hilarious.
I was like, all right. So yeah, my husband really liked it mainly, and he doesn't usually listen to my podcast, but he really enjoyed yours because of Walter and Bunny.
Oh, I'm glad. That is quite a way to introduce it. Yeah. Walter Shane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I made that a priority. Please bring out your transatlantic accents. Yes, they're the best.
He loved it with that. I was like, okay. I didn't realize you enjoyed it that much.
I was
really
very
mean impression.
Yeah, I was so concerned when I first produced it too, because I had no editor and anybody to help in the technical parts. I didn't know anything about MP3 audio versus WAV audio and other types of audio. And usually, especially now as I establish like voice over work, I can see the patterns that clients and casters will do, like ABC format or AABBCC format, and make sure it's in this and that and that. I had zero regulations when I first cast the show. So like, say Eric would send his an MP3 and Amy would send hers in WAV, and I would just kind of mesh it together in this pirated version of Sony Vegas Pro 13 that I got. Yeah, and I'm sure if like a audio expert could listen, they would be like gritting their teeth because of just the different little levels and stuff that could have been off. But the saving grace was that I would throw a vinyl overlay over it, so it would sound like crackling and radio, and it would sort of just blanket the whole audio together.
So yeah, that's true. I mean, because you wanted to sound like it was coming over the radio, and it would come over like an old time radio. So of course you were going to have a little more static. Maybe it wasn't tuned in quite right. Yeah. No, that was genius. You didn't even know at the time, I bet, that was like really, that was good genius, like hiding your amateur editing.
I didn't, and I was too afraid to ask what they charged. I definitely didn't have the money back then to ask for a professional editor's work. But the vinyl overlay was a lifesaver, and they were originally released on YouTube, which I kind of regret. But YouTube was the only place I knew. It was the only place I knew my way around. I didn't know about podcasting and especially how big it would become.
Did we have Spotify in 16? I don't know. I mean,
I think we did, but like, I don't know if we had like the ease of uploading the way we do today back then. Like, I'm not sure, but I was like, YouTube's fine. And I definitely didn't get the desire about people I wanted to reach because I knew I had an audience out there, and I kind of inadvertently shot myself in the foot releasing the first half of the show on YouTube. But people still came in. They loved it. The people were watching it. And I even remember one of my favorite comments was on episode one. It was by the account for Fallout Lanius, the fan film, and giving me kudos on it. And I was like, oh, okay.
I mean, it's not a bad thing that you were on YouTube because you were probably being noticed by people who aren't really looking for podcasts. So
right. And it's such a different, unique concept. So it's like, I guess I'll just put it where I know. And
it is. It is a unique concept. I don't think I know of anybody who's doing old-timey radio station type stuff. I mean, maybe the closest was, you know, the storyteller. But that wasn't old-timey, really. That was just
narration
current
and lore. Yeah.
Fallout stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just, despite whatever I expected of it, I just continued to do it because it's, you know, like Jax has said, it's a passion project, and I just wanted to see where it would go. And it's just crazy to see where it's gone, because it used to be this really treacherous endeavor because I didn't know if I could rely on all the voice actors that I didn't know, and the show would get delayed a lot because of that. But now it's like I've built up a roster and cut out a lot of the the parts that were causing time to slip away. And so it's just so weird. I can't believe it used to be so difficult in the past and so strenuous, but now it's just like, all right, everybody, let's go do another episode, and here we are. And the quality's gotten so better because of my editor, Ethan Walsh. Shout out to Ethan Walsh. Oh my gosh. And I'm so glad I ran into him. He was already a fan of the show.
Awesome.
Yeah. So he loves all the old timey stuff too. I think he's younger than me. So I'm glad more people out there are interested in old timey stuff. But
that is cool.
Yeah. So no more old timey radio effects for the most part. We still use the music, the sound effects, and things like that. But it's no more like major crackle like in the first five episodes. We can really,
you're not trying to hide your
my
your mishmash of audio files.
Yeah.
that's good. Well, let's take a break right quick.
Sure.
And we'll come back with more.
Hi, welcome to Three Count Thoughts. Let me introduce the crew real quick.
Hi, I'm Maverick Stone.
I'm Romer.
And I'm Jaxus. Join us as we talk all things wrestling. Each week, we'll take a topic from the wrestling world, knock it around a bit, and then go over the week in wrestling from a strictly fan perspective. We can be found on all major podcast catchers. We can also be found at Three Count Thoughts on both YouTube and Twitter. Or you can send us an email using threecountthoughts@gmail.com. Okay, are you ready?
Ring the bell.
You're back. Okay. So I'm talking with Preston about his long, very beloved show, True Vault Escapades, his detective show with Walter and Bunny that has been very popular, very popular podcast. And we've been talking about the longevity of it, how he got started with it, his kind of his little brainstorm of his love child. And tell us some more. Tell us, like, so you were talking about the direction that you were going, you know, with your first episodes. What made you, like, kind of go in the directions? Like, how does your story evolve? How does your process of writing go?
Well, the original process of writing was just me sitting in front of the desktop and writing an ultra large text, this very unprofessional script. Never heard about writing in my life. I just wrote the way I knew. And it really just evolved over time. But everything began as literally just a 5-episode plan, and it was just going to be that. And it wasn't until maybe some months later, I really don't remember the timeline, but I remember wanting it to continue because it ends in such a noir, bittersweet fashion where they're separated. Walter and Bunny are separated by a huge steel wall, and they had just fallen in love with each other, and it was just perfect that way. But then it was like, no, I still got so much. And especially after I was listening to more Nick Carter and like Johnny Dollar and yours and what's that other show called? Richard Diamond, Private Detective. I was like, I've got to keep this going because, hey, those shows were serialized. Why can't mine be serialized? And
exactly.
So,
yeah, there you go.
Yeah. And there's just so much in the wasteland to explore. And so I wanted to just have them travel together, do something. So things would change sometime later. I want to say later that year. Yeah, it was still within 2016. I introduced Walter meets Draco, the friendly Deathclaw, and it was another kind of movie-length script where Walter has since moved to Plano, Texas, which in my imagination, since no one has touched it in Bethesda yet, is a thriving community still, and Walter has, with his 10,000 caps now, opened up a fabulous new detective agency and has all these friends and connections until a secretary of his gets kidnapped and he goes to find her. And who's there? It's an enclave talking Deathclaw named Draco. And he sends him on a mission to go and find this device that can reopen Vault 54 against his will. And that was yet another guest star. Draco Deathclaw is pretty big on Twitter. And I've known him for years now, and I was like, hey, I've got an enclave talking Deathclaw, and your whole thing is Deathclaws. Let's have you on. And so I had him come on, and he helped bridge the way to the place Walter and Bunny are now, as Walter, you know, goes in and finds that Bunny isn't there and the vault is in shambles. And then that's when I write Bunny's half of the story, where it discusses what happens inside. And this whole just series of events transpires that leads them both to New Vegas, and that's where they currently stay. But I really wanted, like I said earlier, with the way Bunny kind of changed midway, I was listening so much to Nick Carter, and I kind of picked up too much of those damsel in distress vibes from Patsy's character, because like, it's weird though, because in Nick Carter, even though Patsy was really brave and would join Nick in these like just like death-defying adventures to solve these crimes, she would often serve as a damsel in distress, but and she would just be she'd be screaming. It was that whole like 50s like kind of just trope. And so I ended up kind of subconsciously converting Bunny into that, and I had to remind myself after people were giving feedback, I was like, oh, I forgot who Bunny was. My
like
own
what
character.
Happened to you? Why did Bunny turn into a...
Exactly. So And yeah, but Patsy would have her moment. She would like pistol whip a bad guy when Nick was under the gun, and everybody would just kind of give her applause. But it wasn't enough. It just wasn't enough. And so I made sure to bring Buddy back to her roots, and she's especially back there now with the more recent episodes. Yeah, because and Bunny is really just probably my favorite character in my own show, because she is completely sheltered being a vault girl. So she's been so fun to write for, because she just gets exposed to the wasteland, and she's being like, in the first, I want to say like in the third episode where they're established in New Vegas, she just gets randomly kidnapped by Casket, who is this ongoing villain for them, who is a slaver, human trafficker. And then there's other episodes where there's mutants and just all of the things that we know from Fallout. And of course, Walter is usually explaining these things to her as an outsider, but Bunny, she slowly begins to mold. And I'm putting little tidbits in the script to kind of just show her growth, especially nowadays, since she's definitely established in the wasteland. But yeah, a lot of the early parts of the strip, which I originally called the Vegas iteration, was Bunny just getting exposed to everything. Like, first the kidnapping, and then there was the one called Dopehead Blues, where Bunny's invited to join a post-war book club, and turns out everybody in there is a bunch of rich drug traffickers, and regulators come in and shoot the whole place up, and she has to protect the head honcho there. So she's just getting her worlds rocked, and that's part of her character development. So those aspects, especially Bunny, have been the most fun to write for.
That would be true, because she has so much to discover in the wasteland, because you don't see those kinds of things. Like, we're not in the vault anymore, Dodo. I don't think we're in the vault. So it's, she does have a lot that, and the whole, Walter can't be surprised by anything really, because he's rough and grizzled and he's seen it all. But she's definitely not seen it all. So you can definitely bring that element of, oh my God, what now? You know, what's gonna come around this corner, for Bunny. So that's kind of that would be fun to kind of be able to bring all that out. Cause we all know that we definitely have a lot of weird stuff going on in Fallout.
Oh yeah. And it just keeps getting weirder.
It does keep getting weirder.
Yeah. Who knew we would start off in just the wasteland finding mutants and such. And next thing you know, we're drinking Nuka Shine and waking up on the other side of the map.
Blacking out. Yeah.
Craziness. Aliens come, and mole miners, like mole people, are living in the ground. Like, what is going on?
What is all that about? Mutated people, and oh my gosh.
I know. And,
wow. So do you intentionally try to stick to canon, I guess? Yeah.
100%. I like dancing around the canon and making sure that it moves with it, because I don't know if it's like a weird pipe dream of mine, but it's like, in the off chance that Bethesda were to ever notice me, I hope that they know that I created something that they don't have to like work out of the canon, but because it works with it,
right?
And I just
ever wanted to put a detective agency in Plano, it's already done for you, it's all there,
exactly. I'm always like, geez, I hope I don't tread on the toes of something that's canon. So I'm always like double checking on the wiki and stuff. I'm like on Nukapedia all the time. Like, okay, what happens this year and what happens that year? And can Walter fit in between then? So they're kind of like just characters that were, they were there. They were there where the courier was. They exist there somewhere simultaneously.
Yeah. It's kind of I don't know, if you have plans, because I know you don't recreate new things or whatever, you haven't gone off to see, or have you? I hate to say this because I have listened to them all, but you've not gone to see Mr. House.
No, they mentioned, I didn't break this lore. No, they do meet Mr. House. Mr. House deputized them, but they don't meet him in the Lucky 38 like the courier does. He's sent like a broadcast or something.
I know he was mentioned, but I didn't think they had actually gone to his place or anything like that. So I think that's what they're talking about, with like the TV show. They're going to do the same thing. Like they're, the lore is there.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that they're not going to discount it. Like they may not use it, but it's there.
They ain't going to fiddle with it now.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and they're going to acknowledge it. Maybe. I don't know. I kind of hope that they do, because I would like to see how like to see how New Vegas was supposed to end.
I know. I wonder if they could ever like reference or kind of tease what exactly happened. But I wonder if that would like take away from the experience.
Because maybe like these people coming in and playing New Vegas, like that would be kind of a delicate balance. Because do you want to play a game where you know what the canon ending is?
Right. I mean, there are some out there that do have. There's some RPGs, right, that have some canon endings, right? Or they're mentioned by a developer, like, oh, this is how it ends.
Right.
I can't think of titles.
But I don't know if Fallout ever has. So
no, I don't think Fallout ever has. Yeah. Maybe they might have to make a sacrifice with the show and tell us what happened, since New Vegas is the closer city.
Well, and considering that this show happens all after everything, that we were going to find out, you know, so who won in Fallout 4? Like, because if there's Brotherhood on the East Coast, they must have won. if there's synths everywhere, well, then it must have been the Institute. I mean, it's, you know, you kind of might accidentally get which ending is canon.
Yeah.
You know, same in New Vegas. Like, if you go to New Vegas and Mr. House is no longer around, or if it's under NCR control, or, you know, whatever, like, you kind of figure out who won. But it's
but it's almost as if they can't even show it like in passing, because it's like there's so many different things that could happen canonically, and it's like in the show, if they even show just a little bit for any reason of New Vegas or mention
and
it,
and
it's
they may not have to, they may skirt right around it. Like they may have no reason whatsoever to go to New Vegas or the dam or any of it. They might skirt right around it. They might go south
where
we know nothing.
Oh my gosh, that's a good thought. I didn't even think that deeply
We've been tearing this show apart trying to figure out how they're going to do this, because we already know that Todd Howard said that the show is canon.
Everything in the show is canon.
Yeah. and they will honor canon from, you know, the video games. So, yeah.
That's good. I'm so curious now, just all the different things.
So do you think you'll take any inspiration from the locations that they're going to reveal? Like, are Walter and Bunny going to go to Santa Monica? Or?
Oh, yes. You know, I was asked that by a Patreon member this morning. Like, is Los Angeles going to be a place that you consider? And I was like, I think so. I mean, it's close. It's close. And I mean, I have introduced places in the Mojave, the real Mojave that exist in the show. Like, for instance, Gold Point, which is a spot for the case of the Phantom Spectre, which is one of the Casket episodes. That is a real gold mine ghost town right now. And I mean, it's perfect for a Wasteland thing. I don't know if Fallout would ever overwrite that for any reason, but you know, I do feel like I should brave those areas a little bit when I write the show. Like I think the most lore I've ever stepped on or intervened in was in the Legend of the Star episodes. That actually coincided with a real quest in Fallout New Vegas, and I didn't particularly change anything. I just sort of gave it a backstory, because I remember, I'm sure we all remember when Malcolm Holmes just scares the crap out of us, and it's like, oh, I don't shoot, I'm just a collector,
right?
And he tells us all about Alan Marks, just Alan Marks this, Alan Marks that, and we all know how we find him. And I was like, oh, you know, he's dead canonically, but it's like he looks like he could serve a really good backstory. So that's when I decided to make the 5 episodes, The Legend of Star, and give him this whole story about this lost lover of his, and he just can't stop the crime mercenary life, and this whole emotional roller coaster happens, and Walter and Bunny get involved, and then things kind of unfold into what we know in Fallout New Vegas. So more of that would be something I would be interested in writing. I mean, I introduce I introduced a lot of characters too, like that we know of, like the Van Graaff family.
Mm-hmm.
They had a big hand in the Legend of the Star as well. I've brought up the Chosen One from yep. Fallout 2, who's right. an old man, and Vulpes from the Legion. I've brought him in, and even little characters like Isaac, who is the guy who stands outside of the Gunrunners and is working on that bench eternally. I bring him in an earlier episode. So I do like to consider these are just kind of side quests of these characters' lives. Of course, this doesn't really coincide with anything the Courier does. And
right,
and
yeah, because he doesn't really... I mean, he can do the Legend of the Star.
Yeah.
But not the way you tell it.
No.
Which, I thought that was a really good... I liked it. I liked those episodes.
Thank you.
Those were good. Yeah. So, I mean... You know, and considering that their home base is New Vegas, yeah, I wasn't sure if you wanted to branch into California or not. It is close, but I didn't know if you wanted to branch into them. But.
Yeah, I've vacationed them before to the Gulf of Mexico, so I've gone that far, and I can definitely consider Los Angeles. I will also have to wait for the show to come out to provide details about what has happened True. Since New Vegas in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
But that should be a fun prospect, and maybe I can have a Walton Goggins impersonator.
Cool. That would be cool.
Something like that.
You run into the ghoul. That would be great.
Yeah, exactly. And let me see. Bunny has gone to this fictional city I called Elodna, which is Andale backwards, and Fallout 3 players remember Andale. So, I guess the furthest we've branched was the Gulf of Mexico, because the rest of the places they've gone to were in the vicinity of New Vegas and stuff like that. But I would love to take them somewhere. I've even thought of West Virginia, but I don't know what the state of West Virginia would be by the time Fallout New Vegas happens.
Oh, that's a great question, because that's what, another couple hundred years from where we're at right now.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it wouldn't look a whole lot different, except we keep nuking it. So.
Yes, it's a land of falling nukes. It's a beautiful sight at night.
Who knows what it would look like, really? Yeah, but I mean, more decrepit, I'm sure, because it's already starting to fall apart after 25 years. It's only been 25 years. These buildings are falling apart. Gosh, after 200, I would say nature has probably reclaimed it.
One could hope.
Yeah. Probably isn't anything there anymore. It's just all...
Well, speaking of which, I am, just as a little sneak peek, I am bringing some Fallout 76 to Walter and Bunny instead of the vice versa. The next episode we have in line is called The Case of the Martyred Mothman. And exactly what it is, Mothman's coming to New Vegas.
Oh, wow.
It's just going to be this huge, just kind of monster sci-fi story. And then... also, even more exciting, I just recently introduced this thing called Escapade Extras, where it's just bonus episodes, stylized just like the show, just not with Walter and Bunny. And this one I have, it's called I Married a Mothman Cultist.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
And that
like I Married an Axe Murder.
Yeah, exactly. And it's going to be actually in the events of Fallout 76. And it's just going to be this bonus episode, maybe 30, 40 minutes long. And it's just going to be like that movie Gaslight. It's like the husband is just nutty, but he's normal at the same time. And the wife is like really just concerned. And they both met at the White Spring working with the new responders, and they move out. And it's going to take place in Clancy Manor, which is a cultist site in Fallout 76.
Oh, that's right. Even-
Yeah, no, yeah. Clancy Manor is in the border of Toxic Valley and the forest on like the northernmost part of the map. And I always have a camp nearby, I see it a lot. And this is, you could see, it used to be this huge place, and now there's like a tree that's been like, it's fallen through it. There's cultists galore in there. Well, this is going to be how it ended up that way.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's going to be like that, and Also, right now I have lined up Zach Finfrock of Nuka Break. He's supposed to be playing the husband.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm really excited.
I think he can do Kooky pretty well, yeah.
Yes, he can do Kooky pretty well. And I'm also really glad that he's back in the Fallout groove, just speaking
too.
Of which.
I am too. Yeah. I'm glad that he's going to, you know, that he's working on another TV fan series film, or YouTube series or whatever.
I'm glad
that's happening.
Yeah. And so whenever
in case y'all didn't know, the creator of Fallout Nuka Break, our favorite free actual Fallout TV show,
The OG.
the OG TV show. The creator, he is making another, he is crowdfunding to make another Fallout-based show. So he's
so
back.
Exciting.
He's been streaming. He's been doing some stuff with the community, raising some money to make another installation of whatever. I haven't got if there's any details on premise or anything yet, but
I don't think so either.
Do another show.
I hope he's Twig again. I just love Twig. I love his character.
I think it is because he keeps talking about having Twig's vault suit made.
Oh, that's right.
I think
he
is going to still be Twig.
Oh,
the
I'm so
Nuka, the Nuka addicted vault dweller.
He will die without Nuka Cola. I gotta love it.
I will die without my Nuka Cola. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. The moment they're like, "Well, you're not in any danger of being skinny, are you?"
Oh yeah. Man, it's been a bit, but I used to binge that back to back.
I loved it.
Oh, I loved it.
And I was like, "Why aren't there more of these? Why didn't more people make fan films for Fallout?" I mean, there was a couple. That was definitely the best.
That was the best. I mean,
definitely the best.
I remember when it was just one fan film and then they branched it out into 10 episode series or something. And I was just so proud of these people I never met. I was like, you guys are so awesome.
But it was just like, they did such a great job. You know, their props and their suits and the makeup and where they were, their location was amazing. It was
the character is just so fleshed out and very Fallout. Like all the comedy was in there. I just love the comedy.
All of it. It was so Fallout.
Fallout. I Married a Mothman Cultist. It will be featuring Zach Finfrock in the near future. So, you know, keep an eye out for that. I'm so excited. I never thought I would work with him even like this. So, yeah.
That's fantastic. I love that. Yeah, that'll be fun. Yeah, I was watching his stream the other night and was just like, dude, we're so happy you're back.
No, we need you.
He was playing New Vegas too, and he's playing a melee character with his Nuka Break sign from the show.
Yeah,
he has a mod
clip.
Yeah, and he's using Bloody Mess. So of course, anytime he hits anybody, it's like,
perfect.
Oh my gosh, it's hilarious!
Oh my goodness,
it was funny. It was a good time. I was like, I can watch this for a little while. I was like, lurk, and then I was like, no, I think I'm gonna watch. it's actually pretty good.
He's made for those games. He should have started years ago. Gosh, yeah, because I've seen the clips, and I'm like, I gotta catch this stream one of these days. Yeah,
I was just I knew he was streaming, and I just happened to be home, and I saw he was streaming. I was like, oh, good, I'm gonna hop in there. I try and lurk on my friends' streams, so you know, to give them the support, even if I can't watch. And I was like, well, I'll lurk, and I was like, no, I can't miss this. This is like, I keep watching. This is good.
Oh my goodness.
So,
yeah.
I hung out with him for an hour and a half.
I guess he'll be number 4 of our major guest stars. Technically the storyteller wasn't a guest star. He was truly a part of the main
cast member.
He was a whole cast member. So if you exclude him, we had Mr. Matty Plays, of course. He first appears in episode 5, War Never Changes. And then we have later on Ryan Alosio of all people. I mean, Deacon from Fallout 4. Yep. I was very, very shocked that I could get a hold of him. But Yeah, that was like through the magic of Instagram again, because he was, when he was getting established with the Fallout community, he was like, okay, tell me who to follow, tell me who to talk to. I want to get involved with all the people.
You were like, go to my show.
I was like, ah. And so he was like, okay, I can join, but the only condition is that the character has to be kind of brief, because I don't want to, cross over with any contracts on accident. Right. So I'm like, sure. And Walter blows him up with a propane tank in the episode.
The works.
And I'm like, you know, true to form, because Deacon, that sounds like something Deacon would fall prey to. But Ryan plays Scott Rollins, who was a lookout who was thought to be the murderer on this ship. When they're on the Gulf of Mexico, Walter chases him through the ship into this like storage room. Scott pulls a gun on Walter. Walter shoots a pile of propane tanks next to him and sends him in the hospital or the brig or something where he's getting patched up, and he gets murdered in his sleep basically after that. And that was Ryan. I'm still so thankful that he did that. And Lane Compton was number... Was that three? Yeah.
Three.
Lane Compton, whom he's amazing. He's an amazing actor. But I reached out to him when I found his Instagram, because I played the Mafia 3. And he plays John Donovan on Mafia 3, the CIA agent that helps Lincoln Clay take down the mob. And he has so many scenes in the game. Okay. The motion capture is amazing. He's just getting grilled by this committee over the mafia activity. And I mean, he's so funny in that game, and he's crazy. He's like this insane rogue CIA agent. And I just managed to, again, through Instagram, contact him. And he played a full-blown character this time. He played, it was something Goodman. I'm forgetting the characters. But he was the eldest brother of one of the family members in Aladna that took care of Bunny after she crashed the car, and they all ended up being very nice cannibals.
Oh, yes. And, well, you gotta be good to your dinner.
You either, if I remember correctly, you either join the fold or you become the next meal, and Bunny was not having that, and she has like a final showdown with him at the end. And that was just such a great privilege that he could be on there. And I guess since then, no, there's a fourth. There's a fourth. More recently, Sir Spooks.
He's going to say you had somebody write your episode and star in it, didn't you?
I wrote this one.
I thought he did.
I wrote a Haunted House Blues, which was a more recent episode. Joshua Belmonte, he wrote a special meeting. And I don't know if we had any guest stars on any of his, but all amazing voice actors, though. Voice actors I don't even know. And I'm just like, geez, you are a good caster. With Haunted House Blues, I am already a huge fan of like paranormal content on YouTube. I don't know why. And Sir Spooks is one of those top names that comes out. And I was like, you know what? It's a spooky episode. Let's get a spooky guy. And I reach out to Sir Spooks. Was that Instagram? No. Yeah, it might have been Instagram again. And he played Spooks, the murderous Mr. Handy, who chops the prey up in this false attraction where they eat people. And
think about eating people.
Yeah,
have you had that checked?
I was about to say I need to check myself in.
Have you talked to anybody about that?
I think I was inspired off of Outlast on that one, and I watched people play Outlast to just see them get scared, and I was like, I want to make an Outlast inspired episode, and so I just made that, and there's some Outlast references in that episode, but Spooks was just so fun, and he loved the experience, and he wants to come back, so Yeah, and so I think number five will be Zach in the near future, and I'm just really excited for that, since he's like Mr. Fallout, basically.
That's pretty cool, though.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool. You know, because he's, you know, and we're all rooting for him. I know he's been funded, so we know that it's coming. But I'm sure that it would help him to have a little buffer to get his show made.
Yeah.
To make it the best it can be too. You know, it's like, that'll be great. So you have to find him on Twitter, and I'm sure he's on YouTube still, obviously. And yeah. I know he's streaming, so he'll have his links and all those places to help with that production, which we are all looking forward to.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Think about what he learned from, you know, since he last, you know, did Nuka Break, you know, see what he can do now. I'm sure it'll be amazing.
Oh, it's going to be great. Everybody's welcomed him with open arms. So yes. I know it's just.
Oh, everybody was like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh.
Like, come back. Yes.
I remember when he came to Twitter, and he was just like, oh my gosh, do you know what this is? It's like, Twig.
It's Twig.
Yeah, everybody was pretty excited. Yeah. It was a big thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he really has been active.
Yeah, he's coming in full force, and I really love that, because I mean, just more Fallout content creation is, I think, just like content creation around video games is something I would like to see more of, like that. Yeah. Like a lot of, I there was actually a like, speaking of the show, I have a machinima of the show, and nobody makes machinimas anymore. And I love machinimas, which are just fan made in game movies. For those who don't know,
I love machinima too.
Oh, so
Ray
good. There's so many great
Middleton
ones.
Is the one that makes all the machinima, but he gets, and I know he's got real life, but that guy, every new game that comes out, he's like, I got to make a machinima of this, which means the one he was currently working on is kind of like, on the shelf for a little bit.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, we were working on a Fallout GTA crossover one.
Oh,
that
cool.
I was like, this is really great. I need to see where my character's going, because she just got in this random car and she's driving off to God knows what. Burp, on the shelf. Because Starfield came out. And
like,
now
talk
he's
to
doing
you later.
A machinima. Now he's doing a machinima with his Starfield character. It's just like, all right.
You can't stop those creative juices.
No, you cannot. And unfortunately, you know, we had a really big game release year, and I think this is going to be another one.
Oh yeah,
where a lot of big games are going to be coming out, and you know, we've got, good lord, we've got Fallout London coming, which is going to be.
Oh, that's right. Oh,
I mean,
gonna be huge.
That mod is going to be. A lot of people are like, it might be bigger than Fallout 5.
Oh,
it's a game size mod. It is huge. I was watching them talk about how many different areas of the game they had. You know, areas in their game they have, and how many mod or how many cells they had per area, how many voice actors they had, how many this and that. And it's like, dang, I think they had almost as many voice lines as Fallout 4.
Oh my gosh.
But they don't have a voiced protagonist.
Oh.
So therefore, they might have more.
Oh my God.
Because I want it was some crazy number, but then, you know, they said, but you know, we don't have a voice protagonist because you all voted for silent protagonist because that's what everybody liked.
Yeah.
And it's like, so if you compare that, that's all NPC lines.
That's so much.
Whereas
worse.
Fallout 4 is NPC and PC lines.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And I've seen the pictures. I've seen the hype. I think,
it looks amazing.
I think I looked into auditioning for it when it was first coming out, but it's like, oh, it's in London. I can't do
it
with a Czech accent. And
I know I wanted to, and I'm like, I just, you know, I don't think I can pull it off. And I was like, but I would have loved to have been involved in that. But, you know, there are too many good actual voice actors.
Yeah.
You know, the area. So, but I can't wait to play it. So, yeah.
I don't know if I have anything to handle it. So I'm going to have some time.
That's the thing. It's going
to
be huge.
Oh,
I don't. Yeah, Xbox won't handle it. It has.
Oh,
to
yeah.
PC
I'm screwed.
PC only. So I'm really glad that Hubs was nice to me and revamped my PC last year for Christmas because I'm like, yeah, I can play it. Yeah. And
that's,
I was
going to be, so
you know,
good.
I was like all set for when Starfield came out, like everything's. Capiche, I don't have to worry about it. I'm now looking like I need my second monitor. need a Sega monitor.
That's why I love Bethesda. They love like to root on fan creations like that. I know some other companies would be a little more stingy, but Bethesda's always been just super fan oriented. So I've really appreciated that you don't really have to worry about it in that sense. But they're like, yo, check this out. Look what a fan just made.
And I'm looking at this and I'm like, this is all made by fans. Like these people, this is like a labor of love. And I'm like, Bethesda, these people need jobs, you know, because we know that we want Fallout 5 sometime before we're all in nursing homes. And I mean, maybe not you, but me and Jack says, you know, we always joke about, we're going to be playing Fallout 5 in our nursing homes. You know, they're just going to wheel us to the to the sunroom or whatever so we can plug
I've been waiting forever
plug in our Xboxes game. Exactly. You know, like, dang it, we've been waiting for this, we're gonna play it.
Gosh. Like,
it would be cool, you know. I mean, obviously you've got people that love the game, willing to work on it, obviously can do the work, you know. And the thing is, like, they tested the heck out of it. Like, they said we could release it right now, but we're still gonna, you know, check it for bugs and stuff for the next couple months before we release.
For sure,
because you know,
kudos to them.
So that's pretty exciting.
That is super exciting. Yeah,
Walter and Bunny go to London on the Queen Mary. Who knows?
Think about it. I can like pick apart the story and be like, hey, let's make a Fallout London inspired episode. And they say,
yeah, you might have to find not so much Walter and Bunny, but like, I don't know who's big over there as far as, you know, to find some. Good golly, I don't know. You could do Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, Sherlock. Be a ghoul, Sherlock Holmes. Yeah.
You have to find your version of Sherlock Holmes over there.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. It's time for some travel.
There you go. Like, I don't know. That'd be kind of a thing. That, oh, wow. So, now that we are branching out into all kinds of stuff that's not related, anything else you want to talk about for your show?
Oh, there's all kinds of little Easter eggs and things. Let me see.
Well, tell us about Easter eggs.
True Vault Escapades. Yeah, the name was inspired off of New Vegas' Skill magazine, True Police Stories. So that's a fun little nugget there. And of course, when you look at the picture, it's so very 50s. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I like this. And another thing pertaining to the name. They were supposed to explore vaults. They don't really explore vaults.
They're not really exploring vaults. Well, to be fair, there was one.
there was one, and there was a time early on where I thought, what if each episode is serialized where they just travel the wasteland together, go to these different vaults that we know and love, and they just discover the mystery behind said vaults. So, like, they'll go to, like, 106 or 112 and vault, I don't know, vault 111 even, but that didn't really pan out because I just wanted it to follow more of a concise, very much deeper story. So I wanted them to just kind of go on their own.
I think I like that.
Yeah, but the name is still just it's so very True Vault Escapades. I mean, you can just say it with a transatlantic accent and it fits. So I kept the name.
It comes from a vault.
Yeah, they come from a vault.
You know, and if you think about it, being a radio drama, you're probably listening to it in your vault, right?
Yeah, exactly. All the cushy vault dwellers are just kicking back and listening to the show about the big bad wasteland.
Exactly. So it's keeping them inside because they're like, oh, no, I don't want to deal with that. No, we can't. Oh, what's that? A raider? No. These people eat people? No.
Yeah, oh, no, absolutely not. Stay in the vault. We're never safe. Coming out. Vault Tech. Yeah.
Never coming out.
And let me see. Oh, I almost forgot about the radio situation. So it was Radio Wasteland, Old World Tunes, got rid of that, and I changed it to A-Bomb Radio. It changed the name, and I had this whole logo made for it, played the show there every once in a while. But
you had commercials too, didn't you?
I had commercials. I had everything from Marlboro cigarette commercials to Gallo wine and all of these big name brands from back in the day to just help the vibe. But it wasn't until 2022. Yeah. Very recently. If you roll back the clock to 2019 or 18, I think there was news of a music copyright law that passed in Congress or something. It was just a big, it was a big thing about music. And I'm supposing it went into effect around that time, because it's so weird. I had that station playing 24/7 nonstop basically for almost a decade, and then I get an email, kind of a cease and desist, and or just buy a license, which is like a lot of money.
Say, and, for every one of those songs, it was probably a crap ton of money. Yeah,
it was, and a lot of it was public domain, so I didn't know how the heck they would pick and choose which were worth money or not. So right. It was just really confusing. And I just had to tell everybody, yeah, it's a wrap. And what I'll do though is put it on Spotify. So it's a playlist you can play on demand and I don't have to worry about it. So A-Bomb right. Radio, it exists on Spotify now, and you'll find it under my account, DJ Atomic Wolf. And it's got a lot of songs. Like, it'll last you months if you listen.
I do listen.
Oh, you do? Oh, thank yeah. you. Yeah. Oh, of course.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so A-Bomb Radio has since parked. I don't have to worry about all that stuff, which is kind of a weight off my shoulders, but people seem to like on-demand music more than they do just, you know, traditional radio. So I guess it worked out for yes. everybody.
Yeah, I don't like traditional radio, but see, I'd already, like, I owned a lot of those songs anyway.
Oh, so cool.
Usually I just listen to it on my iTunes, whatever. Like,
yeah.
I have a playlist and yeah. I just shuffle them. And then you had that. And then, you know, sometimes you have something that's different. And sometimes I just,
gems. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll just like throw the Spotify on and just listen to that.
Yeah, that's always fun. I'll listen to it myself and I'll be like, oh, this brings me back. But
well, it's funny. Isn't that funny how like you hear a song and then like your mind flashes to like Fallout 3 and you're like walking past, I don't know, like the old horse track or whatever, yeah. you know, like, or not the horse track in Fallout 3, but you know, that was in Fallout 4. But like you like wherever you're walking somewhere specific in your mind.
Yeah.
Where you hear that particular song and it's like, why am I thinking, you know?
Yeah,
that's the way my brain works. I don't know if everybody else's does, but like, oh, I hear yeah. a song and my brain goes to a specific instance.
This flashback, yeah, this yes. flashback real quick, and now I cannot mm-hmm. distinguish. Like, I can't not think about Fallout when it is from a Fallout game,
right?
And I've listened to it without Fallout for so many years now, but it's like, nope, that Bob Crosby song that belongs to Fallout 3 in my head, so exactly. I'm always gonna think about Fallout 3, but you know, even, of course, this picked up the attention of my family too, especially my elder family, like my grandparents. And they're like, you're 20 something and you're listening to music from my day in the 40s or 50s yeah. and stuff. Like, what the heck got you into this? And I'm like, oh gosh, this is such a long story. And so I was like, so there's this video game.
Yeah, right. You're like, video games. And they're like, huh?
Yeah, it's like they have a radio in the video game and it plays music like this in the video game. And it's kind of based off of the Cold War era, and
yeah.
like, and so then they'll ask further, and I'm like, well, see, it's not in the Cold War era.
It's takes an place alternate like, reality.
Yeah, it's like not too crazy alternate, but it's also in the future, right. and the bombs fall, and everybody's
in
still
the future,
in like 50-
post-apocalypse, but they all live like in the 50s, but yeah. it's not the 50s. It's 2077.
It's like,
but the whole aesthetic is 50s.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, remember how y'all imagined the future would look like in the 50s? It's yeah, basically with that, but everything yeah. goes wrong.
Yeah, yeah, that everything went wrong. Yeah,
music.
You know how Same you had like goes. Robots that would walk your dog? Yeah, they have that.
and then, of course, I hear all these crazy stories. Like, I bring my grandmother on my father's side, she was real into what I was doing because she just thought that was so interesting for someone my age to be into that.
Yeah.
And she started to tell me about those actual days in the Cold War where they would do duck and cover drills,
right?
And how scary it was. Yeah. And I do also recall, and she wanted to know everything about Fallout at that point, like what was new. And so I remember when Bethesda did their like E3 event or whatever, and they showed the pre-war section of Fallout 4.
Right.
And I showed her that, and it went to the Vault Tech rep and, you know, telling you about the vault. And yep. she said, like, it gave her a flashback. She said when she was a little girl, one of those types of salesmen came to her house and her father answer the door, and it was him trying to sell a fallout shelter you can make in your yard or something. And she was like, oh my gosh, we actually, I can't believe we lived through this.
We actually had a ball pack wrap. That's pretty much cool.
It's, but yeah, so it's amazing. Cool.
Like, you find out like how many people actually had fallout shelters in their yards or in their basements, you know?
Oh yeah. And they were pushing them. I mean, there was do-it-yourself ones. There was like some government like funded ones, and
like you knew where to go downtown or whatever, where fallout shelter or something.
And they still have the signs in a lot of places still, the rich says fallout shelter or bunker or something there. Yeah. Like, wow, they keep those up. Okay, that's cool.
You just never know. They're still out there. Know. The nukes are still out there. Well, all the nukes are gone. Probably ought to leave that sign up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, that's really cool. You see, you know, and I hear that from other people too. They're like, oh, it's like such a great time to bond with my grandma. It's like, yeah.
It's such a kind of a macabre way, because it's like, gosh, we're in a post-nuclear wasteland.
We're bonding over, you know, nuclear war and, you know, post-apocalyptic 50s era America. Yeah.
Yeah, a little nostalgia for you and a little crazy gun shooting stuff for me.
Yeah. We can all is kind of neat that they can share that with us, that like what it was like, you know, to have those duck and cover drills as if that was going to help. You know, while they were in school, it was like, nuclear bomb warning, get under your desk. What's that going to do?
Right. And I've watched so many of those films. They were so sure of themselves.
Do you think it helped those kids in Japan? Let me think.
Right. I mean, you saw what it did.
We already know what happened. Like, do we really think it's going to help? Well, those janky Japanese bombs, you know.
Yeah, it's like, oh, they're newer now. Yeah, they're different now.
There's so much.
We have diet
those desks.
Now.
They're really expecting a lot of those desks.
Yeah, those desks. They didn't have desks there. That's the difference. Yeah,
I mean, I don't remember ours ever even like being level. They're always kind of ink, 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 you know, but
we have those Walmart desks.
But it's going to protect me from nuclear radiation.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, so that's what a rabbit hole from a video game can take you down. And next thing you know, you're making radio shows and running an internet radio station. And
you too, know, kids can do something like this, you know? I mean, gosh. And actually, you can.
Oh, it was even worse.
The software is free. Spotify is free. It's all.
Oh, yeah. And it was even worse trying to explain BioShock to my grade.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I had to explain that to my dad. I was like, well, everybody made a world underwater and it was great.
Yeah. Instead of toying with genetic slugs, and then people started to go crazy, and there's a class.
I left that part out. I was like, no way he's going to get that.
It's so much like, what parts do I leave in that makes sense, and which parts do I leave out that just don't, they will not comprehend. And to the folks out there that like BioShock, I also wrote and produced two BioShock shows.
Which was great.
Oh, thank you.
I would not mind more of that.
Yes, it's in the back of my mind, just trying to come up with new ideas. It's called the BioShock the Midnight series. The first episode is called 12 Days to Midnight. The second one is After Midnight, and it follows a group of different people, some of the main characters from BioShock, like Andrew Ryan, too, before the New Year's massacre and everything going into Civil War. And then After Midnight, obviously, is afterwards, and everything just starts to become degraded and crazy. So
yeah, I remember as that came to a close, I was like, what, that's the last episode? No, there has to be more. Don't give me more.
Like, oh man, those were so fun. And another Easter egg with both shows. I don't really write anything on my laptop that much. I write it on my phone. It's all tippy tap.
Oh my goodness.
My iPhone on Google Docs.
Boy.
And the reason being is because I am a huge pacer when I think. So as I'm pacing, I'm just like tapping, looking like a crazy person, but it works for me, because if I'm sitting at the desk too long, I'm like, oh, I gotta get up and do something else.
I write on my iPad. I don't think I can write on my phone, but I write on my iPad.
Not too far off.
No, it's not, but the screen is marginally bigger.
Oh, of course, yeah. And I guess I can text really quick, so I just put those abilities to work on Google Docs. And but yeah, so just know for the majority of the show, and especially the BioShock shows, I just was up in my game room after work, I believe. In those years, I was working somewhere, a plant, and I would just come home and blow some steam writing this script, and both of them ended up being about 2.5 hours long. And intend for them to be that long. They just both happened to land at 2.5 hours long, so perfect.
It's amazing how like stories just, they just like come out of you, because they like, they just need to be told. They just
gotta be told. Yeah. Yes, yeah,
like, and they just have to be told. And I love that, because sometimes but that sure beats the whole struggle of what can I write, because I just can't get it out.
Oh yeah, you're
lucky that way.
I'm glad I have the ability to pace and type, because if I couldn't type, that would have like a rolling desk with my laptop and just pace and walk.
There you
I guess
go.
But it works.
You can do that too.
What else? I really want Ken Levine to hear it. If you know, the creative director, creative mind behind BioShock, I want Ken Levine to hear those shows and give his honest opinion, because those, I think when it comes to sophistication, I really like pushed my brain to the limit with the script for the BioShock shows.
Have you just by chance dropped them to him on Instagram?
That's a good point. I have on Twitter, but not Instagram. I don't know if he has an Instagram, but I guess Instagram is the lucky place to go. So I'll try there.
It has been.
I know. And I was like, oh, I hear he's kind of active, so maybe, but I'll check every once in a while. I sent it to him twice like years ago, and he didn't open it. So I was like, oh, come on. I want you to hear this, because you'll love it. But
you know, you're like probably buried in his...
Oh,
like,
for sure.
Mail or whatever. That's why he hasn't seen it.
Oh, yeah. And
did you tag him?
Yes, I've tagged him a few times in the past. Maybe I should be more annoying, but I'm a little afraid of doing that. And if that can't happen, I would love for someone at Bethesda to hear True Bald Escapades. And I don't, you know, it could be anyone from Todd Howard to, well, I guess Pete Hines doesn't, he's retired now, but still would love for him to hear it.
It doesn't mean he doesn't have a...
Oh yeah,
he doesn't have a way to recommend things.
Oh yeah, and even someone who, I don't know, produced the story, helped write the scripts for Fallout. I mean, I would just love for Bethesda to just hear it. They don't have to like it, but I would love for them to just hear it.
I don't know why they wouldn't, but yeah, I mean, it would be cool to like for them to have a little feedback or something.
Oh, yeah, just something. I'd love it.
Yeah, I mean, that would be pretty neat. Be exciting.
Yeah.
Give a little like, and you'd be like, oh my gosh, they liked it. You
know? Oh, I could die happy.
I was seen. I've been seen. That's cool. That is really great. Yeah. Anything you want to plug? Wally,
oh boy, I would like to plug myself.
Plug it all.
If you want to listen to True Vault Escapades, it's literally anywhere you listen to podcasts on. Spotify is the most popular, so if you have Spotify, go straight to it. Give us a review. And there's a few other things. We got Patreon, patreon.com/abomradio. So A-Bomb Radio and True Vault Escapades have kind of been attached at the hip for a while because they were synonymous. So don't get confused if you see A-Bomb Radio and True Vault Escapades in the same sentence. But we got exclusive merch, goodies, artwork. You get the first of every. Oh, yes.
I just got some.
Oh, you did. Was it the bunny one? Was it the?
Yes.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Got a bunny sticker. I got a mug. Gosh.
I bought the
poster.
Oh, cool.
He's up there. If I get him down, I'll probably make a big, like, my books might fall. But he's up there.
You have to send me a picture. Yes, we have all kinds of exclusive goodies, as you've heard. And we have...
Oh, you can kind of see my mug right there. Do you see Walter?
Oh, I see Walter. Yeah. it's Walter on a mug, holding a mug. I just realized. Yeah.
And Bunny will be on the other side. But that's the same poster that I have.
Exciting. Yeah. And of course, BioShock the Midnight series, if you're interested in that. That's also wherever you listen to podcasts. It's on YouTube. And speaking of YouTube, my account is True Vault Escapades, a Fallout audio drama. You'll find just everything there. Oh goodness, what else? There's merch. We have merch, like a store. It's called the A-Bomb Shop, where you can buy a lot of cool A-Bomb
Posters,
Radio True Vault posters. Yeah.
t-shirts.
We got a customer right here. Oh goodness. Oh, I have a TikTok, A-Bomb Radio TikTok, and it's not related to the show, but I post a lot of old films there, anything from commercials to educational films, and they're just really funny. Like
You do a
right
lot of that on
now,
Twitter too. That's where I catch it.
Oh, that's
Like
right.
anybody who's
I do a
seen
few
this
of it
old
on Twitter.
commercial, and they're always like really hilarious, like scandalous
They're so,
commercials. Like, how did
so
they get away with that
scandalous.
back in the day?
Yeah, like and it's just so much crazy stuff I've been posting. I've luckily reached 90,000 followers on TikTok, and
Wow.
my most recent that's getting some waves is my Kent cigarette commercial, which has micronite in the filter. Micronite was literally asbestos, and you would
Wow.
smoke asbestos-filled filtered cigarettes. So people are, of course, have a lot to say about
That's like
that.
double lung cancer, guys.
Double lung cancer. It'll
Double lung
get you.
cancer. Get it, get lung cancer faster. You can get
It'll get you there to that cancer.
it two ways.
So
If the
just
cigarettes don't
lately,
get you, the asbestos will.
it will. Hey, let's roll dice. Who's gonna get it? So, TikTok, that's my it's A-Bomb Radio there. I'm on Twitter, X, whatever it's called now. It's
Yeah,
at tr
we'll always
and
be Twitter.
it is now True Vault 54, as I make it used to be A-Bomb Radio, but it's True Vault 54 since I'm trying to make it more oriented to the show on its own.
Yeah, I noticed that the other day. I was tagging you and I was like, wait, is that the right one? I
I was
was
like,
like,
oh, I hope they don't notice.
that
It's like,
doesn't seem right. And I was like, nope, that's it.
yeah. So, True Vault 54. That's where I'm at. And where else? Facebook. There's a Facebook page which is just A-Bomb Radio. That's mostly geared towards the music and the playlist. And of course, I post the show stuff there too. And if that's it, if you catch me in Fallout 76, and you see Walter and Bunny Investigations on your map, we're always selling plans and cool little knickknacks.
Are you on Xbox or?
I'm on Xbox.
Okay, too bad.
So, oh
Well,
no. Yeah, if you're on
I'm on
Xbox.
PC, so.
Oh, I wish
Ugh.
crossplay were a thing.
I wish it was. I mean, I don't
No.
know why we can't do that. You know, especially
Maybe.
like Xbox players. I used to play with a guy who said he played on an Xbox, but he played through the Xbox app on PC.
Oh.
So, yeah. So
I
we
mean,
used
there's
to play
some.
together and. But nobody else on Xbox has done that I know of. So I don't know.
Maybe that'll be one of their updates in the near future. I hope that's a possibility, but I doubt it. But
I don't
gosh, that
know.
would be so fun. But if you're on
Yeah.
Xbox and you see Walter and Bunny Investigations, they
I know. I
catch
knew you had a camp because I always see you post pictures of them in the office and stuff. And I'm like, I know he's playing 76 because it's right there. But I didn't know what platform you were on. I'm like, probably on Xbox. Everybody else is.
Oh. Yeah, I've been with Xbox for about 15 years now. Oh my gosh.
I
Yes.
gave it up. Once I got my
Oh.
fancy computer, it was like, well, we're not going to be buying Xboxes every year anymore.
I tried PC. Like I used to play PC religiously after I was done with the original consoles like PlayStation 1 and 2. I went and I started playing MMORPGs like crazy on PC. And just a fun fact about me, one of my the whole reason I got into Star Wars and became a mega fan of Star Wars was because I played Star Wars Galaxies like a villain. I was so addicted to that game. I played it for
Well,
almost a
where's
decade.
Mav? He is a fan.
And speaking of which, if you heard the beginning, Star Wars is going to be a crossover for Walter and Bunny around the end of this season, which is called The Case of the Velvet Holocron.
Cool.
And it's all written, it's over 200 pages. And
Wow.
And it's the longest thing I've ever written, and I'm probably gonna have to split it up, and
definitely.
it's gonna be fun, tear jerky. It's gonna be like the BioShock show was kind of tear jerky in terms of contents. I have a fan named Elizabeth, and she's always talking about it. She's like, please don't make me cry like you did with the BioShock show, because I can't take it anymore. And I'm like, ooh, I'm not gonna guarantee you won't, but
mind a little teary. I don't mind it. Because I feel like if you can evoke emotion like that from people, then you're doing something right.
Right. Yeah. So I'll be kind of sad writing it. I'll be like, oh gosh, I hate to do this, but I have to, because I know it's just going to just come out so good.
Right. Right.
But other than the plugs, just shout out to the cast, whom most I haven't met yet. Mainly Eric Huffman. You've been with us the longest. Maybe we can do a return episode here with him or something.
I would love that. Sure.
Yeah, it'll be like a little meetup. Shouts out to him.
Oh, heck yeah. We'll have to try, and maybe we can pull all your main characters in and do an episode with all of them. That would be fun. Oh,
that would be so fun. Because I'm not really good at coordinating things like that, so I'll have to kind of lean on y'all.
Yeah, that's probably that'll be my job.
But of course, Amy Harris, she still talks about the show all these years later. Sharon Gruenwald, she played the second bunny. She was with us the longest. And then of course, Crystal Romero, she ended up being Bunny, and she introduced me to her fiance Joseph when I was asking for an editor for the show. I was not casting Bunny at that time, and I met Joseph, and Joseph has been helping me with the show ever since, and we all collaborate, me, him, and her, and it ended up that she was already a voice actress, and I was like, wait a minute, can you do a little test script for me? And she did it, and I was like, you're Bunny. You're a bunny. You're Miss Bunny for real. And so she's been Bunny ever since. And she's an incredible actress. She's in a lot of Skyrim mods and little video games too. And it was all because she recommended her fiance to me. Who knew that? But
she just fell in her lap.
Yeah, exactly. And to Josh Belmonte, who writes and voice acts. He played Alan Marks really well. I loved his Alan Marks impression. And Jason Dameron, who plays the storyteller, Mr. Matt, plays everybody who's been on the show. Austin Rogers, who's also on Modus Files. He's also a regular cast member. Gosh, there's so many. Ethan Walsh, of course. Oh my gosh, Ethan.
Ethan.
Ethan, he makes art for me now. I don't even ask for it, and he surprises me with this amazing artwork that he makes for the show, like edits, really. Wow. Him and Tari Mark David, who makes the artwork for the show. Oh my gosh, he's so good. He made
that's
it
like really nice.
Yeah, he's the one on the mug and all the posters. And Mike Tyson, who played Cage in the Cage Chronicles, and Marianne Stanek, who played Red. Okay, so there's just, and thank you to the cast, because you guys have been amazing, making my vision come true, which is like every creator's best wish. So, yeah.
Oh, yay.
And Dawn, of course, for being a patron and a voice actress.
Yeah. A dear listener. All right. So awesome. I am very pleased, thankful that you got to clear some time to come on with me and talk. And we'll have to do something again with everybody whenever you can clear Thursday. Let me know.
I'll let you know. I will tip you off. I will let you know.
Anytime. You are welcome. You just let me know when it's good for you.
For sure. I'm going to be like, Eric, y'all, I know some of y'all live on the other sides of the world, but you're going to have to wake up at 3 a.m. for us just for this one thing, please.
It's happened before. We've had some UKers on before, and it's like, how late is it for you? You know? And it is possible that we might be able to like push it like an hour earlier, as long as it's a Thursday that I'm off, because every other Thursday I'm like racing home from work trying to get here and be like, okay, guys, we're on. Yeah. So, because every other Thursday I'm off, and every other Thursday I have to work, and we don't close until 8 o'clock. So then I'm like rushing home to hit 8:38. That's why I'm like 8:30, 8:45.
We'll make it work
when I get around. So awesome. Thanks for coming. Thanks for being here and hanging with me. And I hope everybody enjoyed learning about True Vault Escapades, one of my favorite shows. Obviously, it's a great show. It's been around the longest, and it's doing amazing. And it's all because of this guy right here and his heart. So
thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Any time. So we're going to say good night.
Good night. Go.
This podcast is part of the Robots Radio Rocket Club, a program designed to help all podcasts reach their full potential. For information about joining the Robots Radio Rocket Club, check out robotsradio.net.
Hi, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Ariel.
And we're the hosts of the Legend of Zelda Lorecast, a podcast about all things Legend of Zelda, from Errol to Zora.
And all the fun things in between.
If you're ready to dive deep and learn more about the Legend of Zelda lore and everything surrounding it, come join us on Legend of Zelda Lorecast. You can find us on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, Google, or wherever else you get your podcasts.
We hope to see you soon.